Inside Lacrosse Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the Inside Lacrosse High School / Recruiting Podcast. I am Dan Ebern, contributing writer at Inside Lacrosse, joined today by Jeff Shannon. Jeff, we just got done with our first Inside Lacrosse Recruiting Invitational, the June session. In my opinion, it was a stunning success. We're going to talk about what we saw. I was in charge of the 2019 division, you know, watching that group of kids. You were in charge of the 2018 division. We had other people on site watching the 20s and 21s. Jeff, what were your takeaways from the 18 division?
I think just, and again, it's a theme that we've seen, you know, over my decade here at IL, but just through the continuation of the development of players and their ability to play at a competitive level from all across the country, our top teams, at least in the 2018 bracket this year, one of them was built mostly of kids from Michigan, a smattering of Marylander kids in there, but vast majority from the Michigan Midwest area. And then their opponent in the championship game was a group of kids from the North Carolina region. So, and again, they were deserved of both of those runs to those brackets, and probably the best top-end talent were on those teams. So it just kind of goes, you know, it goes to the old thought that, you know, there's players everywhere, there's talent everywhere, it's good to see. And as you said, the weather was good. One small rainstorm, can't go wrong with that in Baltimore, but Gelcher College, loved the layout of the facility and the ability to get around and see the different kids. Good week, good competitive lacrosse and some fun talent out there.
Yeah, who won the 2018 division?
2018 division was won this year by the Juice Cherries, 2018 team. I watched the championship game Wednesday. MVP of that game was Bryce Clay, an attackman. He had three goals in the first quarter of that contest to kind of set the tone for them offensively. Also added an assist late in the game to solidify the victory for them. I believe the final score is 13-9. Just a very deep team. Outside of Bryce was probably the star, and when you look at the just sort of the offense and his ability to play up, and so it's no surprise that he's been a verbal commitment to Michigan for a bit now. But just a lot of offensive talent going down the board for them. Kids like Cam Gould from Brother Rice, Jack Reed from Ann Arbor Pioneer, Drew Billing, I thought had a great week from Brighton. And a young guy from Maryland who I really was impressed by, a young man named Roland Fisher out of Gilman, midfielder, two-way kid. Can't shoot it on the run when he wants to, but his real assets were in the middle of the field and playing on defense. So a good group. They're really kind of, with the depth of offense, they kind of dominated that side of the ball. But not the only talent in the bracket this year. I thought there were some other kids that were also good.
Yeah, Bryce Clay, I think, was the MVP of the championship, the 2018 championship last year as well. He's pretty a tremendous righty finisher.
Lefty.
Is he lefty?
He's lefty.
Okay. Yeah. And I remember, I think, last year at our ILRI, he was uncommitted at that point. I think he made the decision to go to Michigan a couple of weeks later. I believe he is close to compiling like the most goals in Michigan history, right?
I believe so, and it's testament to his talents that he's at that level. A couple other kids that were good in the championship game on the other side of the ball. My favorite offensive tandem this weekend was Andrew Kelly and Cameron Walker from 24/7 Lax. Andrew is from Myers Park. And so is Cameron. Big program down there in the Carolinas. Andrew, very quick, fast attackman, mostly from X on the right side. Really, really worked that area well. Could dodge and get a shot off, turning the corner, or really worked well off cuts. He really shined in the uncommitted showcase game, actually. I thought working with another quick guy who was about as quick as him and Billy from Juice Cherries, and they were able to really do some fun stuff with their speed and leverage. Cameron Walker was a big lefty shooter, and when he had a good matchup or a good setup off a feed, he could really just crank it with the lefty shot. Those guys were kind of the catalyst of their offense that made him to the championship game. Another piece was Colin Hoban, a faceoff. One of probably the most talented faceoff guy that in that group, but he was committed, so we went with another kid who was also really good in Faber from the True Lacrosse team. But Colin, his committed to High Point, had a great run. So,
yeah, I remember Andrew Kelly in that All-Star game. I believe he had 3 straight points in the first quarter of that game. It was the 18-19 showcase was a relatively lopsided affair because, like you mentioned, Sam Faber won 16 of 18 faceoffs in that game, and both of Team Blue's goalie, Team Blue was the team that won, both of their goalies were simply lights out, and you can kind of see that Team White was a little hesitant to shoot. They were really kind of starting to overthink their chances. But Andrew Kelly, like you said, really good at turning the corner, and I think really just an explosive dodger from X to GLE, and then, you know, supreme at getting his hands free, finding a teammate or getting it on cage.
Yeah, probably for me, the kid with who was uncommitted, and he's a 2019, who I thought, oh, there's a kid with some topside. A program could use a guy like that.
Yeah, I was in charge of watching the 2019 division, and was a really interesting division. 0-4 in pool play. Team 8 rallied on the third day to go. They won their play-in game. They then knocked off the number one seeded Stick Star team, who was undefeated at the tournament so far, and then they won the semifinal against Juice Cherries White, advanced to the final against Juice Cherries Red, where Juice Cherries Red ended their tremendous run with a 12-3 victory. But overall, Team 8, man, these guys, I was talking to one of their players after they won their playing game, and they said, you know what, we came in today with a mindset that we lost all 4 games in pool play, but only one of them was a blowout. The others were very close losses, very narrow defeats. They said, there's nobody in this tournament that we can't beat, and they really proved it on day 3. And really great story for them. They were playing to celebrate the life of Jamie McHenry, a former teammate of theirs, who was hit by a car and died in 2013. His number was 8, and that's why they call themselves Team 8. McNear really caught up with their coach, Frank Cesari, before and after the championship performance. Check that out on Inside Lacrosse. Really well-spoken guy, Cesari. He really went into their story, so you should absolutely check that out. It was one of the cooler stories we got to feature at this entire tournament. In that championship game, Jake Rosa was the MVP. He had a tremendous game passing the ball, 6 assists, no goals, but he was able to capture the MVP performance on a 6 assist performance, including one lovely, he backhanded to another player who was wide open on the back door for a finish.
Yeah, it's always a good competition with these things. Make sure we'll have the fallout from this week's events on InsideLacrosse.com. You'll be able to check out all tournament teams. You'll be able to see some of our evaluations of the guys as we get the database rolling. A look at some of the younger groups as well. Terry Foy and McNair had more time with some of those young groups, the 2020s, 2021s, if you want to get down there a little bit. And all sorts of videos, clips, interviews. Really looking forward to kind of like the fleshing out some of the follow-up content in the next week or so. Matt Kinnear in particular was running our media studio. That's a big part of what we do when you come to our events, is so you spend some time in our media studio, kind of get a sense of what we do at Inside Lacrosse. And he did a lot of interviews with coaches and players. So really looking forward to seeing all that come up on the website soon.
Absolutely. Just a few other players I want to shout out in the 2019 division who I thought were really impressive. Tate Hollick from Juice Cherries Red, the champions, had just a tremendous tournament overall, was a standout in the 18-19 uncommitted showcase. Joey Comish was another guy. I believe he's the younger brother of Brennan Comish, who was a fantastic player at Detroit Catholic Central, plays for Detroit Mercy in Division I right now. And Justin Glad was another guy on Juice Cherries Red that I really came away impressed with. Tremendous handles. We had one observer compare him to Ryder Garnsey, which is a pretty high praise in my opinion.
Definitely. So yeah, great event. Always looking forward to it. Our next event will be coming up in July at Cedar Lane in Bel Air. Almost, I'll say twice as many teams, so makes for sort of...
60 teams. Quite the event.
and for coverage wise, it forces us to focus, I guess would be the thing. And so we'll be coming out of that soon.
Of course, Jeff, if you are a player or parent of a player who is looking to upgrade their gear, we recommend you check out Sideline Swap. Sideline Swap is where lacrosse players buy and sell their gear, find deals up to 70% off on heads, shafts, helmets, and more, or snag unique gear from colleges and the pros. Sideline Swap also lets you sell old gear simply and securely, list in seconds, and they'll send you a prepaid shipping label when it sells. Visit SidelineSwap.com today to get started. That's SidelineSWAP.com.
Dan, I know you were also on the road this past weekend, and you don't have to get into it too bit. I know I saw a lot of our database will be filled out with some of the information you gleaned from this past weekend. But where were you and what were you watching?
I was at Germantown Academy, about 20 to 30 minutes north of Philadelphia, for the Big 4-H Champions League, which has really become kind of like the first big stop on most Division I recruiters' recruiting trail. And the lineup of teams they had was simply fantastic. So much talent. And I kind of really went for the 18 and 19s, but I came away with impressed with so many 2020s, and it's just you can start to see the progression that, you know, the former high school freshmen have made into their sophomore year. I'm going to give a few shout-outs, and you can follow up by checking out our recruiting database. And then, of course, there's a few standouts who got honorable mention as well. But the first player I saw on day one who really impressed me was Grayson Salad, who's a guy who's really been on the radar for quite some time. He was early on recognized as a top player in that 18 class, mostly for his step-down shooting. And what I saw from him this time around was a kid who had probably put a lot of time in the weight room. He had really polished off some of his offensive skills, still had a very fearsome shot, but he displayed much more proficiency in shooting on the run. Simply can throw a bomb with a simple flick of the wrist. And then another guy who I was really impressed with was Quentin Buckman. In 2018, committed to Boston University out of California, plays with a very excellent West Coast Stars team. He's got a cannon, and, you know, he just leaves kids in the dust with his split dodge, toys with a release, and then just boom, it's out of his stick in the back of the net. And then another guy from the West Coast Stars who I was really impressed with was Bo Peterson, a Princeton commit from Utah, also plays for West Coast Stars, just a supremely confident player. You know, sometimes you see guys out on the trail who are just like, there's no rhyme or reason, but one thing you can see is that they know that they can make a play, and that's exactly what I thought of this kid. Pretty big guy, you know, leans into defenders to try to get his hands free to feed first and then shoot second, I thought. Pretty lengthy. If he packs on a few pounds, I think he could be a very fearsome dodger at the next level, and I just thought a really tremendously polished player. And I got to say, you know, in the wake of the Utah lacrosse news, kind of breaking them going Division I, that there really is a stable crop of kids from Utah who are coming out to these East Coast events and putting on a big show. Another guy I really was impressed with was actually a 2020 Dane Swanson, who goes to McDonough, just up north of where we go to work. He plays for the Crabs team, and he's a verbal to Navy. 6'3", 2020. One of his coaches on the sideline was Patrick Spencer. This kid had basically the same DNA in him, just tons of Patrick's game. Clearly evident, you know, big guy, likes to dodge from Max. He actually ran midfield. They would get him into invert sets and try to, you know, be a catalyst by shaking up defenders behind the cage and then getting a step, and was definitely a feet-first guy. I followed up with his highlight tape after this game. The dude's got a tremendous step-down shot. You know, I was looking at Navy's 18 and 19 commits. They're just tremendous athletes they're getting. You know, Ricky Soule is really starting to turn that corner and amplify his recruiting. So shout out to Navy. Shout out to Dane Swanson.
Good crew. I'm definitely interested. I believe Salad made the Under Armour, one of the Under Armour teams. I'm assuming it's the Command, the older crew. For the Under Armour underclassmen tournament, he's a kid that who's been on our radar. I'd like to see him live a little bit more, and it sounds like you got a nice preview of him, and I'm looking forward to watching him in the coming weeks. I was also up in Pennsylvania for the IMLCA's new event that was played out of Lebanon Valley. A lot of good kids there. I'm still going through my notes for that, but look for my coverage of that event and the next day or so on InsideLacrosse.com. A lot of good kids. Just want to make sure they're, you know, properly vetted, I guess, is the best word to look at it. And go back over my notes after a long week. But a couple of good events in Pennsylvania, followed by our event at IL's event in the Baltimore area. Dan, that's not all, right? But I know in the coming weekend, you have a big trip planned. Well, what's on your agenda?
I'm going to try to get out to Maverick Showtime, which is, you know, probably the premier recruiting showcase, I would say, on the summer schedule. The best kids in the country come out to, I believe it's Western Connecticut State University up in Danbury. And pretty much every Division I coach will go to this event, see the kids, and that's just probably one of the best places to evaluate the guys.
Yeah, it's the classic showcase style. So when you say one of the best events, that's how I'd parse it. It's one of the best individual events. You're not getting that. And those have strengths and weaknesses. A lot of times they're really good places to do an initial identifier. This is from someone who's been to a lot of these things, going back to in the heyday when Blue Chip was the premier individual event, and then, you know, the competition and whatnot comes along, and Maverick had Maverick Showtime and Paul Calcaterra, then those guys have really done a good job of fleshing out that idea, bringing in individual talent, and letting those kids earn their initial some big recognition. Of course, I always find then you take that and you want to take those notes and then pair them up at how they play with a team that they know, a group of guys that they've grew up playing with, or a high school team, even a club team that does practices and those type of things. And it's also a little different than even like the Under Armour underclass tournament events, which is guys who maybe they're not playing on the same high school team, but core groups of guys from regions who know each other and play each other on high level events in those regions. So there's still a little bit more familiarity there than there would be even at a showcase event. So different levels. It's good to see guys play in different types of events, different styles of events, play with teammates, play with players who would be at their level or predicted to be at their level. And Maverick is a good start for a lot of those guys in terms of showing off their individual skills, playing with a group of guys that would, you know, have been rated to be in their same kind of talent pool.
Absolutely. Another recruiting event I want to mention that I saw this week was the Adrenaline All-America game, which was just a fun thing to watch because all those kids are scoring some really ignorant goals, just like behind the backs, between the legs. Like Miles Hamm, a Canadian committed to Harvard, I believe he goes to the Westminster School in Connecticut, had one of the more noteworthy performances, kind of, you know, putting on that Canadian skill set. He did the Ryan Walsh, so to speak, which is basically like faking a jump shot, keeping it in your stick, fooling the entire defense, and getting a wide-open crease opportunity. He also scored some very nice goals in addition to that. But another guy who had a big game was Asher Nolting, a Cherry Creek attackman committed to High Point, Cherry Creek, the Colorado State champions. He had a great game. And then another guy who is actually a star at last year's Committed Academy put in a great performance shooting in this game, and that's Andrew Beecham. I believe we're getting him back for the Committed Academy coming at the end of July. So very excited to see him. It looks like he's really developed his game very well.
Yep, and you mentioned where you may be. I am definitely going to be in Towson next week for the Under Armour Underclass Tournament and the Under Armour Senior Games. Great talent across the board. Again, one of the better, higher concentrations of top level Division I talent when it comes to the younger guys. That's always important to watch and see how they perform playing against other teams and with regional guys. And then the senior game, and that's something I'm sure I'll probably get into a little bit more next week. But again, one of my favorite high points of the summer, seeing a lot of the top players in the upcoming Division I freshman class get together and showcase what they can do at that level. Again, it's a showcase game, so some things you can get away with, some things you can't, but it really does give you a sense of the talent, and then it's fun to watch, you know, get your first kind of idea of them playing together at that speed and that style and that athleticism, and then see how that translates once they get to college in the fall.
Absolutely. I believe, you know, Under Armour Underclass is probably the marquee event of the summer, along with the senior game. What I really love about that event is that they put kids from their region on the same team. So it's like kind of like, oh, yeah, Philly versus Baltimore. Here it goes.
Yeah. And again, it gives them a level of familiarity with each other that because they grew up, they're all going to be in the roughly same age range. They probably played each other, played against each other. There's a little bit of familiarity that adds to chemistry, adds to sense of purpose.
Yeah.
That's a little bit different than the individualized events, but it's also different than a club team event. Why I like Under Armour Underclass Tournament, why I get a lot out of it. One thing I did want to mention coming up also next week will be our final Inside Lacrosse Under Armour Top 25 High School Rankings. A little bit of deliberation left in those, but we kind of got a sense of how that Top 25 is going to lay out. But we'll do a little bit of breakdown with that coming up. Again, it should be at this point, I think maybe Maine still has a title at this point, but I think they've crowned theirs as well. So all the champions are in. Just kind of want to do final vetting of people's schedules and seasons to get some final opinions, and then we'll be producing that and crowning our 2017 champion. And who knows? It could be one champ. It could be two. Well, it could be one team. Could be another team. That's kind of – I like to leave it a little bit of a mystery, even with the rankings going the way they are, because, again, now – everybody, all the pieces are on the table, and you can really get a good assessment of everything. So looking forward to producing that final list.
Effective teaser there, Jeff. We thank everybody who listened in to, I guess, what we could say is the inaugural recruiting podcast. We're still trying to kind of make that transition since it's the same two guys basically doing it. But we appreciate the listen. Please check out next week as I'll bring you my recap from Maverick Showtime, and we'll kind of get you primed for the Under Armour event as well. Thank you, guys.
Inside Lacrosse Podcast.